So our Best of the Midwest takes you to places throughout the Midwest. We do this most Thursdays. I won't be on the radio Thursday. You'll be hearing some highlight programming on the holiday weekend, but on the holidays. But we decided to do it today and to take you to Williams Bay, Wisconsin, where they have what's described as the world's tallest glass tree. The producer is Robert Elliott, and he joins us now. Robert, thanks for being on WGN. How are you?
Thanks so much. I'm doing very well. I appreciate it.
So where is Williams Bay?
Williams Bay, Wisconsin's on the north side of Geneva Lake, so kind of up near Lake Geneva, Fontana, Williams Bay. It's kind of all around Geneva Lake and just over the border in Wisconsin.
Big town, small town? How many folks you got there?
It's a small town. It's a series of small towns. It's a handful of lake communities. It's a really great place.
Right. We've talked about that area before and some of the little towns around there. You said you're on the north side of the lake then?
That's right. Yep. North side of the lake, right in the middle, is where Williams Bay is.
So maybe a couple of hours drive from many of our listeners here in Chicago, huh?
That's right. Yep.
So
yeah, not far at all.
Talk about the world's tallest glass tree. What is that?
Yeah, so it's basically the way it works is last week we drop off collection receptacles in three different locations throughout the area. And the community brings us their glass, their beer bottles, wine bottles, jars, baby food jars, that crazy pickle jar that's been sitting in the basement for the last few years. And they bring them to us. And what we do is we take that glass, we crush it and melt it in artist Jason Mack's mobile glass furnace. And then we extrude that glass. We pour that liquid hot glass over a 31-foot-tall spinning steel structure over a period of 6 days. And that, and during that time, the community is invited to come and join the event and watch their glass be added to the world's tallest glass tree. And there's a winter market, and there's shopping, and there's food and wine and beer and all kinds of cool kids' activities and steel sculpting and micro tours at Yerkes Observatory. It's truthfully it turns into a winter wonderland, and it's a lot of fun. And on the last day, on the 15th, we top the tree with a 5.5-foot hand-blown glass star, and it puts the tree at just over 36 feet tall.
And it usually lasts about 5-10 minutes, and then somebody bumps into it and it falls down.
It's a lot more resilient than you would think. In years past, we've had snowstorms, ice storms, heavy winds. It's fragile, but it's strong in the same sense. Whereas individually, the strands are fragile, but when they all nest together into that kind of spool structure and to form the tree, it becomes strong. It's pretty fascinating.
I get that, but is it one color then? A multicolor? What does it look like?
So in years past, we've used green and clear glass to make kind of a custom color green. This year, we're actually shooting to make it blue. We're collecting blue, green, and clear glass. We're collecting all glass, but those are the ones we're going to be pulling out of the receptacles and crushing and melting in our furnace to make a blue tree this year is the plan.
So Jason Mack's mobile glass furnace.
That's right.
So Jason Mack, is he a glass artist? Are you a glass blower or artist?
Jason is a glass artist. I'm a producer and a contractor of many different types of things. But Jason and I grew up together. We grew up in Downers Grove, Illinois, went to North, and then went to Illinois State together down in Bloomington Normal. He studied sculpture with a focus in glass, and I studied recreation and tourism management with a focus in large-scale events. And we've always been, creating large-scale sculpture and having fun together and making, big events. And so it's just a continuation of things that we've always kind of been doing. So it's a lot of fun, truthfully.
Still, are there a lot of these? I mean, this strikes me as just so novel. I mean, I can imagine the two of you over several beers going, I got an idea. what was the genesis of this?
Pretty much that, we had this old building down in Bloomington, Illinois, for a long time. We had this big 10,000 square foot warehouse that this guy used to let us use if we kind of kept it up. And it was a totally condemned building, but we were utilizing it and making all these sculptures and whatnot. And basically, as we continue, you know, I would host like a party and we'd have a bunch, you know, bluegrass band and a bunch of people show up and Jason would build a sculpture. And eventually the warehouse kind of turned into almost like this glass forest. You know, there were sculptures kind of everywhere evolving. And so that was kind of what sparked the idea was to one day, you know, we should build a glass forest event space and where, you know, people can come and see hundreds of these trees and grasses and mushrooms and critters and it can be ever evolving, you know, and using the, you know, the recycled glass. And, you know, and I should go back to the glass portion of this. It's like, you know, typically glass artists use studio glass, which is incredibly cost prohibitive for two college guys in a condemned factory. So we were, you know, trying to figure out ways to go about this. And I worked at a bar at the time. And I was like, well, what if we just collect beer bottles from the bar? And, you know, it's kind of a faux pas. Like, glass artists don't use, you know, recycled glass typically. And it took a big learning curve. But eventually what we did is we, put a hole in a garbage can, put it at the bar. And once a week, Jason and I would go pick it up in his El Camino, take the glass to the car wash and wash it and crush it up and melt it and make things out of it. You know, and then one year we were trying to get people to, you know, come down and do some holiday shopping. And so we decided to build a tree out on the loading dock. And that's, you know, just to gain attention from people passing by on the highway, like, what's that all about? And that's kind of where the tree project began. You know, it kind of was a bunch of us sitting around drinking beers in an old factory next to the furnace.
It sounded like, though, it's an ongoing process by which this then molten glass is spun around this metal frame. Is that a public event or does that happen indoors? Just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, 100%. So it is 100% a public process. So the way it works is on December 6th, if you show up on December 6th, you will see us adding the first bits of hot glass to the steel structure. It'll be a steel skeleton of a tree. And then over the period of 6 days open to the public, we will actively be adding up to 3,000 pounds of liquid hot glass to the structure. And then that steel skeleton will disappear and the structure of the tree and the glass will kind of overtake that. And it's really cool. And another part of that is, you know, community members and visitors can actively add hot glass to the tree. You know, you can purchase a glass experience on our website. And when you're there, we'll hand you a gathering iron full of hot glass, and you can actively add the hot glass to the tree.
That just sounds like a really bad idea.
it's actually relatively safe, and it's we've been teaching people how to work with glass for a long time.
This is just such a neat-sounding, unique community event. Like, a lot of people have a Kris Kringle Market or whatever, but who has this? Does it light up, or I guess not? You're not stringing lights on it then, are you?
We light it with some strategically placed LED lighting, and it truthfully, like, the light radiates through the entire tree and all the glass. It's almost like kind of a fiber optic look to it, so it's pretty fascinating.
So is it too early to go there now? It's not happening this Thanksgiving weekend. You said December 6th was the date to be there?
Yep, December 6th is when we kick off, and you park at the high school right down the street, and you hop on our holiday trolley, and we'll trolley you over. It's about a 1.5-2 minute trolley ride, and that'll bring you into the grounds. And at that point, you can come and add glass to the tree. You can do some holiday shopping, grab a beer, some wine, some food from one of the food trucks, and basically just immerse yourself in this wonderland. Itself is an incredible facility and an incredible place if you haven't been or seen it. And they're offering mini tours during this process or during the festival as well. So that kind of is another exciting thing that people can, you know, look forward to doing as well while they're here.
The website for your production is worldstallestglasstree.com. Not surprisingly, that URL was available, worldstallestglasstree.com. And we're talking about Williams Bay. You cut out a little bit there. Give me 30 seconds on the Yerkes Observatory.
Yeah, Yerkes Observatory, it's kind of the birthplace of modern astrophysics. It's home to the world's largest refracting telescope, which is a 42-inch.
Yeah, I'm afraid that he's now cut out. Robert Elliott, producer of the World's Tallest Glass Tree, worldstallestglasstree.com. You'll see what I mean, and then make plans to go to Williams Bay. Really fascinating. Congratulations and thank you, Robert. Robert Elliott, the producer there.